We appreciate your phone.
You should.
Where did you get your training?
I went to Fountain Gate Bible College with Fuchsia Pickett.
Okay.
I think she's been on Daystar. Fuchsia Pickett, she had a large church in, you know, I got saved at 81, or I got saved before then, but I came to the Lord really in 81, and I went to school way back a long time ago. And then so I went to Bible college there, I was in the church, and then I've just always been in churches after that where there was prophecy, and God's just trained me. So.
Do you ever, because you see in the spirit, do you ever see the dark side of the spiritual stuff? Do you ever see the demonic side of things?
I don't, but I don't, I shouldn't say that. I would say that, yeah, that I have in the past, but one of the things that the Lord has really done for me over the last few years is he's really begun to open up to me the strength of what Jesus did and how much I've really crossed over. Okay, and subsequently, I see my life much more from a completed position, and I see my life as more secure. And so even whenever, I mean, I might see that someone's dealing with something that's demonic or those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I used to really spend a whole lot of time being a great warrior for God, and now I just kind of rest in what Jesus has done. And then again, it's that whole kind of begin to proclaim and draw out the reality of who Jesus is for people, and then see those kind of things fall off. I do meet people that when you tell them the good news, you know, they'll say, oh, oppression's coming back on me and I can't get free. And you're like, okay, but you are free. You know, Jesus makes you free. Remember, I don't even say to people anymore, you need to get free, because what that means is that you're in bondage.
You're not free, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. So, you know, but, you know, and we just had a woman, my husband and I, who, you know, contacts us all the time, and she said that she's going to have to stop contacting us because we, you know, we don't see things accurately. But what we do is preach freedom, and she's constantly being overrun by a devil. And so, you know, the last time I just said, hey, maybe you should quit focusing on what your failures are and focus on what Jesus has done. I think it'll help you. And she said, I have to take you off my list of people who are bad. If you are bad, I can't contact you anymore. Of course, my husband's like, woohoo, you know. And I'm like, okay, you know, but, and, you know, because women feel differently. But, no, I don't. I mean, I've had a lot of demonic activity in my life. My father was an abusive man. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of like soul attachments where the enemy was just, even after I became a Christian, able to thump me, and I had a spiral of things that took me years to really overcome. That, the teaching of who you are in Christ, didn't really help, because I could never see who I was in Christ because my soul was still so broken. And yet the Lord, you know, through a prophetic pastor, he was really, he travels internationally now, but he used to travel internationally, and international pastors would say he was the most accurate man they'd ever heard.
Who was he?
His name's Ray Stokes. But anyway, yeah. The Lord really used him, but I had a lot of demonic activity in my life. But
sometimes, I mean, I see over a region a terrible thing that will happen, and I think, that's not God. You know, I mean, that may be the plan of the enemy, but why am I even seeing this?
I don't know, but again, then the answer is, so Lord, what's the remedy?
Yeah.
So, okay. Lord, because I don't believe. I believe that Jesus already won, and that people Amen. Do talk about all these, you know, we can't get free because there's right. some demon that has the control over this. I'm thinking, really?
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus died and paid it all.
He tore it all down.
And he tore it all down. I mean, I know that there's still demonic activity, but even when it talks about in Ephesians 6 about, you know, standing fast because we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
What do we stand fast in? We stand fast in who he is. That's who
right.
we stand fast in.
Right.
And so there's a place. So, again, that would be, because I have a friend who does it all. He's going, this, and it'll come to pass. And I'm like, okay, well, when are you going to start asking Jesus for the remedy?
Yeah.
Because there are people who are suffering.
Ooh.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so Jesus is the Savior. So I don't care if they're heathen. He pours out his goodness on the just and the unjust. He died for all of us. Now, we're just fortunate enough that we've entered in faith. But he still, if there's some place over in Cambodia that some guy sees that there's going to be a bomb, then ask Jesus what the heck I can do about that. Okay. Whether I can stand up in his authority and say, hell no, that's not going to happen, excuse me. Or whether what I need to do. Okay? Because I think that that is where the prophetic should be going. Where there's a rulership over, we get this sight, we have words of knowledge and understanding, and there's a rulership over this.
He told it for a purpose.
Yeah.
He told it for a purpose.
For a redemptive purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I'm
not,
sorry.
Not
for... No, no, no. I'm not yelling at you.
No, no. I agree. I agree.
Yes. Passionate. I am.
No, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, the when you see what the Lord wants to do, and he speaks life to people. He speaks life to
Amen.
People.
And, Amen.
And, you know,
and it's always overcoming. Let me give you one last time. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Mira. You're such a blessing.
Oh, y'all are such blessings. Y'all are special, special people. How do y'all know each other?
Friend heard who told me 20 years ago I was prophetic and I absolutely didn't believe him comes to your meetings every now and then.
Cool.
So he invited us.
Cool.
That's how we got connected.
We were part of Metroplex Chapel, and Brian is a.
How come I know his name?
Brian Harding.
Yeah. Is he like a big name around here?
Oh,
he's incredibly powerful, but he doesn't have a big name.
So anyway, we had a care group in our home, and I mean, we would
baptize people in our swimming pool, and there would be deliverance, and there would be words of knowledge, and I would just stand there going, oh, you know, as he did all this.
You know how
stuff.
You said you have a home, a home church, and no one shows up.
Yeah.
Okay. We'd have home group, and one person would show up.
Yeah.
And
it would be a divine appointment for them.
And it'd be a divine appointment.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And we were driving to the home group one night, and I hope someone shows up.
Yes.
I don't, you know, and we get there, and no one shows up, and Brian says, hey, let's play.
Cards.
And we go, you know, let's not. Let's minister to each other.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, God just did that over and over and over.
Yeah, it was special times.
Yes, it was.
We want to see it again in our house. We do.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I can really see that for you guys because you're gonna have relational influence with people. That's the way the church should be built, is relational influence.
That's right.
I don't have authority over you because I have a prophetic gift and you're under my authority. I have relationship with you.
So you listen to my prophetic gift.
So I,
yeah.
Yes, and so I have a place of speaking into your life because you're safe with me.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't mean that here. I just mean in relationship with people.
Oh, one more question.
We were talking about Daniel in ministry, college.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he thinks he may have a call to go into ministry. I know you said he had a pastoral heart, and he feels that too. And he's not sure whether he's called into ministry yet or just that might be. Where would you recommend him going? He's a junior.
I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
You're the Daniel people, yeah.
Yeah.
The tallest one.
I don't have any idea where where he would go.
We don't mean prophetically. We just mean where is a school that teaches how to really minister and not just go to a church.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, you don't.
I don't have any idea.
All right.
Concern. When you send someone to ministry school, they can just beat the tar out of it with all the, you know, negative stuff that's gone on in the church.
I can make a recommendation of all the schools I've been aware of. I've never attended a school. I think Andrew Womack's college is in Colorado. Mm-hmm. You can do it over the internet.
I think it's
a 3-year. I think it's really
His doctrine's going to be really good, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it's a, yeah. The man we know, Roger Sapp, I think is the most biblically Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. Right next to him, Andrew's got a huge, wonderful program. And it's the best one I would recommend.
Yeah,
we
somewhat familiar with that.
Caris College is what he calls
it. He's on at 7:30.
On Hastings.
Yes.
I think he's very credible. very incredible.
I think that's a good idea too.
I think even just to go to school, even ministry,
church.
No.
I know.
Maybe
it's
to get a foundation in the Word.
I mean, there's
okay, but
and then
primarily because I think the church is much less about the building and much more about relationships that you build. And some of the most effective pastors I know.
The church joiner.
Would have never been accepted in church ministry.
You know, they all have
okay, but it, you know, because they know how to walk with
right.
people. But he would,
well,
he would probably.
The only one is Andrew.
Well, you have to have knowledge, but it's also who you know. If
right.
you go to a strict seminary, you'll get tons of knowledge, but somebody will forget out who you know.
Well, that's what I mean, but I think Andrew Womack would give him a Christ-centered.
Yeah, he wouldn't teach the, you know, Andrew strikes me as the,
well, you don't get,
that's the truth. And we're going to head to the truth. And whatever else did wrong, we're going to head to the truth.
College has a broader set of topics. So, I mean, you don't go into learning Greek or things like that, but it's what he presents to you is a picture of Jesus and you know the things about that. The college is a little broader, but it's really on getting you to who you know.
It's discipling.
More so than just pure knowledge.
Discipling.
That's right. And I think that the...
Were they preparing, can he get an ordination or anything through that?
3 years, I think
I think he does get to complete the...
Because if he wants to do that, I was just saying, I wasn't saying he wasn't called there.
Right.
When I heard that word, I just didn't want him to be limited in my sense. I didn't have a definitive enough word to say, oh, you're going to go be a pastor and you're going to do this. The call is there, and the grace is there, whether he ever stands behind the pulpit of a church or not. Okay, and so that's what I was speaking to. So he might end up being, you know, a church on a guy who's on the corner, you know, has a church on the corner. I don't know, but then if, you know, that's what I was speaking to. I just didn't feel I could limit that.
Exactly.
But I did see the call, the grace on his life to shepherd and pastor.
Yeah, whether he is a pastor, or whether he does it unofficially.
That's right.
He'll always do it because that's who he is.
We can all be pastors.
Well,
yeah.
Right. I mean, you know.
Well, but he has a grace gift, I'm telling you. He has a grace gift to do it, but he doesn't have to have a Bible college degree, nor does he have to ever stand behind a pulpit to have a grace gift to be a pastor.
Right.
Okay. However, I think there's huge benefit in anyone who wants to do things where they're going to be dealing with the Word of God to set time aside in some sort of collegiate way to master the Word of God.
And Andrew did that by himself. The Lord, actually, was it in Vietnam?
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be a good place to hear it.
Yes.
It was. I mean, it was in Vietnam for a year, and he's just, you know, reading the Word, and reading the Word, and reading the Word, and reading the Word. And so, but you know, there's this bent for sending people to school.
Yeah.
And a lot of the schools, you know, are just collegiate.
Yeah.
And that's not what...
Well, some are also very liberal. And teachers don't believe in the resurrection, and they don't believe in many things. But
well, because they've been jaded with, you know.
Well, because they don't know Jesus,
and they don't see the miracles.
You know, I mean, if you know Jesus, you believe in the resurrection. If you really know Jesus, if you have a Christian faith, that's a set of principles that you follow. You can argue the resurrection, but if there is no resurrection, there's no Jesus to know because he's dead.
Well, I was raised Catholic.
Oh, okay. I was too.
And I was on a hike with some Christians, and two guys came back and shared the four spiritual laws, and the Lord spoke to me. And I thought, I accepted the Lord. I mean, you know, the Catholic Church teaches the truth.
Yes.
But they didn't introduce me to it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know lots of things about Obama, but I don't know anything about
That's
Obama.
That's what my husband always says too.
You know, I mean, I
don't know him. I know things about him.
And so I knew a lot of things.
You're just a stalker if you know a lot of things about someone, but you don't know him.
Right.
So, we need to be distressed.
So anyway, that the thing that I got from that was a relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
And
amen.
You can't confuse me with, is there a God? Well, there was like 10 minutes ago when he said something to me. You know? I hear voices.
and
if I listen to your heart, I could get some things about you.
Good night.
Bye. Bye. Nice to meet you guys.
Jesus. If you don't touch the mouse every 15 minutes, it turns itself off.
Oh, you're so smart.
Well, I wondered whether it was still recording or not.
I went to Austin, you know, after we were in New Braunfels, and we have this young guy that we know who has a house church there. It's just so amazing. But, so I was recording some of the prophecies on my phone, and so I have like 54 minutes or whatever because I didn't push the button and turn it off, and so we have all this conversation going on.
Yeah,
it's hysterical. Anyway, I'm not technical.